I'd like to turn tonight with you to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to take a break from our trek through Matthew and go ahead and talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit tonight, that each one of us, the Lord has ordained to have gifts in the body of Christ. As we've accepted Jesus as our Savior, He wants us to walk in Him. And so He gives us different gifts and ministries. And it is a wonderful thing. So let's go ahead and read verse 1 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. And it says this, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I would not have you ignorant." God is so interested that we would not be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. He really wants to teach us about them and let us know that He's desirous that each one of us exercise the gifts that He would give us. Let's move now to verse 7 of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. It says this, "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every person, man and female, male and female." It says every man in the King James translation, but that is a generic man, men and women. "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man or woman to profit everybody else for the common good." Your gift in the body of Christ actually ministers to the common good of the rest of the body of Christ. And as we seek God from the heart about what gifts that He has for us, then He fits those together with the other gifts to really bring a beautiful, beautiful picture of Himself. He's the head of the body, and we're the arms and legs and toes and so forth. And so we all work together for the common good of the body of Christ. "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom." And now he begins to list gifts of the Spirit. The word of wisdom, that is being able to give a word to someone that's just the right word for them to have right at the right time. That's the word of wisdom. And they'll end up saying, "Wow, that's exactly what I needed to hear." And you can be on the receiving end of that or the giving end of that as the Lord gifts you to have a word of wisdom. And then it says to another, "the word of knowledge by the same Spirit." This is actually knowing through the Spirit of God something that you didn't know naturally. And somebody will say, "How did you know that? How did you know that?" Well, it could have been that the Lord gave it to you to know. And that's the answer to that question. How did you know that? And so the Lord will give a word of knowledge. The Lord might speak to your heart and say, "The person right over here is really suffering from depression, and I want you to go and encourage them." And that kind of thing, that's a gift of the Spirit. That's a gift of the Spirit. And probably all of us know people like that. Or maybe you're one of those that you just know that this person needs that or this, and you're there to help. Okay, to another, faith by the same Spirit. Now, we're all given a measure of faith to believe in the Lord. Romans chapter 12 lets us know that we're all given faith by measure, a measure of faith. This gift of faith is talking about the extra boost of faith, the extra boost. I'll never forget the testimony I heard from Mario Murillo years and years ago. He's a pastor that ministered in San Francisco. But anyway, I heard him speaking. He was talking about going to a revival meeting, and there was a lady that was coming down the aisle to ask for healing for giant goiters on her neck. And the Lord spoke to him and said, "Go and shake her by the neck." And he said, "Lord, you're going to have to open the ceiling and skywrite that one, because that's awful if I went and did that." And she just really hurt. But he said, "I want you just to go and give her a shake on the neck." And so he was given the gift of faith to do that. I mean, the Lord just gave him an instant word of faith to do that. And he went down and he did that. And she went, "Ah!" And so then he just fell backwards going, "Oh no," you know. But she was healed. God healed her through that gift of faith that was given to Mary Murillo at that particular outreach. And I thought, wow, that is really neat. And so to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Yes, there are gifts of healing, and they're in operation today. And you know what? We can lay hands on one another in faith and ask for God to heal people. And you know what? He still heals people today. There's been miracles in our church. Absolute healings that have taken place that just are unexplainable. We had one witness to last Thursday night at the Seder dinner for the ladies. This Israeli lady came to speak to us, and she was full-on Jewish and just despised Jesus Christ because of all of her upbringing and so forth. And she actually got very, very sick. And she went down to 102 pounds. And she's a very big woman. She's 5'10", so that was really, really ready to kick the bucket kind of weight for her, 102. She was all yellow because her kidney was going out. And, or was it her liver? Her liver? It was her liver. Okay, going out, going out. So she was about ready to die. And you know what? God healed her completely. And when she went back to the doctor said, "What happened to you?" He said, "You should have at least traces of the bad blood in you still." But there wasn't one trace. God just, isn't that beautiful? Wonderful testimony. There are gifts of healing today. And, you know, God might even want to use you to do that, to lay hands on somebody and ask for God's healing. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so the gifts of the Spirit that we read about in the Bible are not for yesteryear. They're for today. And God has done many mighty miracles. I can think of a healing in our own family. My wife, Sherry, a few years back had a wisdom tooth coming in, and it was Friday night. The dentist was not available. And we were just in a panic because she couldn't shut her mouth and she was in extreme pain. She was just laying up in bed, just trying to close her mouth. And the tooth was just giving her agony. And this one brother came over. I said, "Bro, we've just got to go lay hands and pray for Sherry." We went up and laid hands on her. We started praying in tongues. And we prayed in English and tongues and prayed for her. And God healed her on the spot. And she was able to close her mouth and just be normal about it. And I believe she finally got her wisdom teeth removed, but it was like, what, a year later or something? Years later, because God touched her from whatever was going on there. Only He knows about these things. But the gift of healing, the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. And God does still work miracles. Have you ever had the chance to say, "That was a miracle"? Have you ever had a chance to say that? I see some heads shaking. Yes. God does do miracles. He's amazing. I really felt it was a miracle when my son Josh lost his shark's tooth in a whole sea of white stones. And it had been 3 weeks since he lost it. And he was sitting in the middle of all these white stones. It was a giant long driveway in New Jersey. And he had his legs spread and he was sitting down. And I said, "Josh, did you think to pray for your shark's tooth to find it?" And he said, "Okay, I'll pray." And he bowed his head to pray and the shark's tooth was right between his legs. I kid you not. And guess what I call that? A miracle. That's a miracle. But of course, there's much more dramatic miracles, aren't there? And I think about the time that, this is a true testimony that Catherine Marshall wrote down, maybe I shared this recently. There was a fire in Japan. The guy was on the 11th floor, and he didn't know what he was going to do because the door was hot. They say don't go out a hot door when there's a fire because the fire will come right in and just consume you. And so he's looking out the window down 11 stories. The Lord said, "Sit down on your bed." He just listened to the still small voice of the Lord, and he sat down on his bed. And then the Lord said, wait. Now tie your two sheets together. Tie two sheets together, get down 11 floors, come on. But he tied the two sheets together, and he said, "Now tie the other end to a good sturdy thing up here in the room." He did. He says, "Now throw the sheet out the window and climb down the two sheets. And just as he did, the ladder came from the truck. And the truck couldn't reach up to where he was, but only to the floor where he came down to on the sheets. He was able to get on the ladder, and he was saved from that fire. He was listening to God. And God did a miracle. God really spoke to him. And so the gift of miracles. Then to another prophecy. Prophecy is the foretelling of God's word. God might give you a word for somebody. God might give you a word for somebody. Did you ever come to a sermon and go, man, did that guy call my wife or my husband? How do you know about that? And you know what? It's just that it's the word of God to you, because it's not me that's teaching or whoever is doing the word of God, but it's the Holy Spirit. And so you're foretelling the word of God to a person, and sometimes you don't even know it. You could be on the phone and you're a Christian, and God anoints you with a prophetic word for someone. And it's just amazing how that works too. Now, another discerning of spirits. Now, the discerning of spirits is to understand what's evil and what's good. You might walk into a place and just go, I know what's wrong with this place, but it's evil, and I'm out of here. Yeah, I know. You guys, these guys are laughing because I remember a very occasion about that when the girls went to that one place and you said, get out of here, you know. And it's just, it happens. That's a discerning of spirits. These spirits that are here are not of the Lord, and I am history. I'm gone. To another, different kinds of tongues. Some of you might receive the gift of tongues from the Lord. And there's many in our church that have that gift. It's not anything weird. I'll just do mine for you. It's very natural for me because God ordained me to have that gift. And it is wonderful to use it to edify myself. And that's the way I edify myself, to edify you. I'll be sitting in the front row of church here before a sermon, and I'll start using my tongue. Because he that speaks in an unknown tongue does edify or build up himself. And he that prophesies edifies the others. So if you have the gift of prophecy, you edify everybody. The gift of tongues, you're edifying yourself. And so I'll say, Lord, build me up so I can build these up. And I pray in tongues a lot and use that gift to stir up the gift that's within me, and so should you. If you got the gift of tongues years ago but you don't use it anymore, stir it up. Start using it again. Stir up the gift that's within you. Oh, yeah. And let God just edify you and build you up that you can build up others. So different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. When a tongue is spoken out in the public assembly, there needs to be an interpretation. And so God will raise up somebody else in the church to interpret the tongue and what is being said. And it's most of the time praise to God. Because it actually says in the word that the tongues are to praise the Lord with and to bring out that glory to God. Speaking of the mighty works of God is what the disciples were doing when they were baptized in the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues. And so this is another gift. The interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to everyone severally as God wills. He gives to everybody as he wills. It's what his will is for you. And so don't go around pining if you don't have certain gifts. Use the gifts you have. And he will give them to you according to the measure of faith that he gives you. And it's a glorious thing, because you just are you in Jesus. Who are you? I'm me in Jesus Christ. And I just got what I got. I am what I am. That's all that I am. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. You guys all know that. And it's just the way it is. And so we just go with that. And now let's look at verse 18 of the same chapter. And it says in verse 18, but now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. And so it pleases him. It blesses him to give you gifts. We're having the resurrection celebrated on Sunday. And the Bible says that after the resurrection, actually 40 days later, Jesus ascended into heaven. And what did he do when he ascended into heaven, the Bible says? He gave gifts unto men and women. He gave gifts unto men and women to edify and build up the body of Christ. And so each one of us are given gifts as we know the Lord and we walk in the Lord and we're asking for Him to fill us and use us, then you have to be gifted to do that in certain areas of ministry. And He will give you, and I just gave you a list of gifts. And there's two, three more lists of gifts in the Bible. The gift of administration, the gift of helps. Maybe you're a really good administrator. You really know how to put together a bang-up job deal that really works. You know who's got that gift? It's come, yeah, Pastor Bill's got it. I was just thinking, though, of Jeff Bridgeford. And that guy is something else. Him and his wife, Sherry. They put together a marriage retreat. Bing, bang. It's unbelievable. And then the Seder dinner for Sunday night, that was their baby. You know, everybody kept saying, Bill, what do we do now? Mark, what do we do now? You know, during the week, they were asking me. And I said, I have no idea. Ask Jeff. And Jeff set the whole thing up. And Sherry. And they have the gift of administration. They really do. And our church really needs them. And our church really needs Pastor Bill. Our church really needs everybody that's here. And you. You precious saints out there, don't you know you've got gifts that God wants to use? Oh yeah, you do. Now, I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians 13:1 now. 1 Corinthians 13:1. Now, you see, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 are all about the gifts of the Spirit. So we're looking at each chapter a little bit just to get a handle on things. Now, in chapter 13, verse 1, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. In other words, you can have all the gifts in the world, but if you don't have love, it's not worth anything. It's like a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal without love. So our motivation for receiving gifts from God and ministries and calls from the Lord and special anointings from God to be a better person to help is to help other folks. That's what it's for. That's the only thing it's good for. And that has to do with love. And God will fill us with His unconditional love for others. And we just have a heart for others and feel a burden for others. And so then we have these certain gifts God's given us now to really edify and build up the body of Christ. So it's a very serious thing. It's not just like a shopping list or Christmas Santa Claus thing. No, it's very important to the Lord. And He really wants to use you to the max to be a blessing to the people on this earth before He comes and takes you home. And so that's what these gifts are for. And so now abide faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. And that whole chapter 13 is about that. Now, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 14:26. 1 Corinthians 14:26. And this is actually talking about our service tonight, because our service tonight is our plan is to have what's known as an afterglow, and that is to wait upon the Lord and to see what God would do in our midst about edifying one another with a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, with a prophecy, with just actually ministering one to another that way. We do this at pastors' conferences. I want to assure you that Calvary Chapel is not a church that doesn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. There was 1,000 pastors together at, I think it was two pastors' conferences ago, at Marietta, and they just opened the floor to all the pastors. Pastors, if you get anything from the Lord, speak it out. And man, this place, people like popcorn, popping up all over this pastors' conference. And saying, you know, I feel the Lord, and some would have a prophecy to the pastors to encourage them. For prophecy is for edification, encouragement, exhortation in the Spirit, and comfort. And it was just awesome. It was an awesome time with the pastors. And You know, us pastors all look at each other and go, why can't our flocks experience this wonderful thing? And so that's why we have afterglows from time to time, is to give us a chance to let God use you. Let's read this verse. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, a song? You might feel led tonight to lead us out in a song. And it's the perfect song for that moment and that time that just edifies and builds up your brothers and sisters around you, because we teach one another in the psalms and the hymns and the spiritual songs, making melody together in our hearts. And you might know a song you want to lead out, and you just feel it on your heart. It's coming up your throat. You're trying to hold it back because you're too embarrassed. And you let it out and you start singing. Everybody goes, yes! And start singing with you. You go, man, why did I wait on that one? You shouldn't have waited on it. It's good that you did it. It's wonderful when this happens. We want to experience this. Every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, a teaching. You might feel led to read a verse. And the guy across the aisle from you just goes, wow, man, God just spoke to me through that verse. You don't know what I'm going through. It's awesome. Has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done to edify. The reason you do it is to edify your brothers and sisters, being led by the mighty Spirit of the Lord. So there it is. Let me show you one more verse now. Acts chapter 13, verse 2. It says this in Acts chapter 13, verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. This is how the Apostle Paul got the Word of God to do his first missionary trip, which led to like two or three more missionary trips. Some scholars look at one way and some of the others. It's kind of like 3.5 mission trips. So, but what were they doing? They were ministering to the Lord. They were singing to the Lord. They were waiting on the Lord together as a flock, listening for God's voice. And at that time then, the Lord separated Paul and Barnabas, Saul and Barnabas, for the work wherewith the Lord had called them. And so you never know. As you're sitting in a fellowship like this and we're waiting on the Lord, God might call you to another nation even, or to sign up with Rick and Jimmy and go to Mexico. How many times you guys go to Mexico a year? 6 times a year, and these people live here with us at the church, don't you? Sometimes I think Rick's got a sleeping bag here or something. He's one of the elders of the church. And Jimmy is his dear wife, and they're a precious couple, and God called them to Mexico years ago. They go 6 times a year. Anytime you can go with them, and maybe you'd feel called, even tonight. And Megan, our other missionary, she's taken off for El Salvador, in next February. And she, in a couple of weeks here, will be announcing the trip to all 3 services because she feels led of God. The Lord spoke to her heart. She's been a missionary for years, and she's with YWAM, Youth with a Mission. And she's been in over 30 countries, and she is just in the groove. And she feels led. She says, Mark, I feel led to lead a team from Calvary Chapel Anaheim to El Salvador next February. She knows the people down there. There's a compound that's all set up for ministry. And she just feels led to do it. So she'll be standing up to the church and asking if anybody wants to do that. Maybe somebody here tonight will be called to do it, even tonight. You never know. Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And so those kinds of things, you see, happen as we wait upon the Lord. And so that's why we have afterglows. That's why we have retreats for people to go and just sit before the Lord. spend a whole weekend with Jesus. I've always got one retreat or the other in the bulletin. Have you ever noticed that? But tonight is our night. And we'll be in prayer for when to do the next one. Tonight is our night. It's 5 minutes to 8:00.